أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، we are discussing about the 17 حقوق of the children on the neck of the parents, and 17 rights that the children have on the neck of their parents. We already discussed 12, and tonight I would like to sum up this discussion as soon as possible so we enter into the next one. The ladies' fifth class is really moving forward. So we started the subject of imamat, which is very, very important subject, imamat and leadership. And I would like to start the subject here as well. So if you guys are showing up regularly, we can move forward quickly, inshallah. Tonight is the 13th haq, 13th right on the neck of the parents, 13th right of the children, which is ihtiram, respect. The 13th right of the children is the parents respect their children, hold respect for them, and love them. And this is one of those natural expectations of every human being, you know. Imam Ali Rasulullah Sallam has said, that أحسن إلى جميع الناس كما تحب أن يحسن إليك. Do good towards all the people the way you love to be good to be done towards you. That's in Wasaid al-Shia. Volume number 8 and page number 541. So, Islam has a very beautiful principle. It's not just only says, like they say, it's a golden principle, do to others like you would like them to do towards you. But doing to others is just a doing. It's what Imam Ali said is superior than just what in English they say, do to others what you like them to do towards you. Here what Imam Ali says is kama tuhibbu. This is superior than doing, isn't it right? Do good towards others the way you love to be that the good towards the good is done towards you. So what you love to be done towards you is superior than just doing any action. So whatever, we may just do something, but we love something more than that, isn't it right? We love to be done in a better way. So the way you love it to be done towards you, you have to do it in the same way towards others. This Islam is teaching us a superior teaching. And in another hadith, Amir Mumin alayhi salam has said, Ajmilu fil khitab. Ajmilu fil khitabi. تسمعوا جميل الجواب. That means you you have to be good and use beautiful language when you're addressing somebody. So you have to use beautiful language in addressing someone. That's how you would listen from them. You would listen, Jameel al-Jawab, beautiful answer. So if you want to listen a good answer, a beautiful answer, then you have to address them in a beautiful way. This is from Ghurarul Hikam. Durarul Kalim. Okay, page number 139. So, our scholars say that this hadith is talking that Islam, the viewpoint of Islam is that do good. Do good towards all. This is the policy of Islam. Look at the beautiful policy of Islam that all need to do good towards all. We need to do good towards everybody. You know, Islam never initiates anything wrong. We are the victims of all kinds of victimization and terrorism and evil acts done against Islam. Islam is a religion of justice and peace and submission to God. We never initiate any harm to anybody. We never do any harm to anybody. We never do any violence, any evil. We are the subjects of all those harms done by the, you know, by the oppressors. Similarly, as we are discussing the rights of the children are no different. They expect the same from their parents. One of the reasons why the children get disoriented and, you know, turned away from the parents is because of this right of theirs is neglected by some parents. They don't respect them. They don't give them the proper respect and love they expect. And then they turn to others who may provide them fake or temporary love, and that fake and temporary love can always sidetrack them, derail them from the straight path, and then they end up learning bad things from their peers and their friends and others who are around them. So our imams, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, were providing love towards the children. They used to love all the children. They used to love everyone, all the children. They used to respect the people around. You know, they used to provide respect, deal people with respect and respect the people, and be down to earth and mutawadhi towards the children, not just towards the adults, but a'imma alayhim as-salatu was-salam were even respectful towards the children. Prophet always used to initiate salam whenever he used to see the children. He started the salam. It's narrated in the history that nobody ever took a lead on our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in ibtida bis salam, in initiating the salam. This is the sign of tawadhu. And not doing salam on somebody is takabbur. It's one of the signs of takabbur that you are pretending, you're showing your arrogance that you're not even ready to say salam on somebody. This is a sign of arrogance. So Prophet was saying salam on even the children. Islam says, when you have children, you have to love them and respect them, treat them with love. Kids are kids. You have to play around with them. Isn't that right? Because the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam says, please pay attention, man kana indahu sabiyun, whoever has a child, فَلْيَتَصَابَ لَهُ, and he should also behave like a child with him. فَلْيَتَصَابَ لَهُ, he should behave like a sabi, like a child towards him, towards the kid. So towards a child, we play with as if we are also a child. And this is how we do. Child doesn't understand, you know, deep academic philosophical evidences, you can't understand that. We need to play with the child, and that's how we do the tarbiyat, and we can connect with them. This is from Rawdat al-Muttaqeen, volume number 8, and page number 599. Also, almost similar hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, where he has said, that man kana lahu waladun, whoever has a child, saba, he became a child. If you have a child, you become a child with your child. In other words, man kana lahu waladun saba, whoever has a child, he became a child. You have to become a child with your child. So also in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that al-waladu sayyidun sab'a sinin, a child is the head. Sayyidun, sayyid means the head, the chief. Sab'a sinin, 7 years, he is the chief. Was abdun sab'a sinin, and he's a slave, he's like a slave. Of course there's no slavery in Islam, it's just what we are trying to understand is that he obeys the parents, he follows the parents. The next 7 years he follows the parents. Abdun sab'a sinin. Wa wazirun sab'a sinin. Next 7 years, he is the wazir, like your advisor. So basically, first 7 years is your chief. You run after him, you teach him, he is calling, he is asking to you to do things for him, and you are just obeying. Isn't that right? You're obeying your child. You're running after him. So he is just like a chief, and you are obeying him. Next 7 years, your son would obey you. If you teach him, so these are the crucial years. If you teach your children in the first 7 years, that's where the child will start following you like a servant, a slave, for the next 7 years. And the next 7 years, 7 to 14, 0 to 7, 7 to 14. And from 14 to 21, next 7 years, he is now your advisor. He has already gathered so much information in Islamic moral attributes and moral beautiful teachings that now after from 14 to 21, he's now eligible to serve as your advisor. People start teaching their children from 14 to 21. And some people even never don't teach them in that age, unfortunately, properly. So that's why in a lot of cases, it's the fault of the parents who neglect their responsibilities and don't teach the proper moral teachings to the children. And the children don't know their duties towards Allah, towards the Imam of their time. They are simply not knowledgeable enough about their duties. We have this hadith from Anas bin Malik. Anas bin Malik says that marra inna Rasulullah passer bien. Prophet passed by a bunch of children. Sallam alayhim. He said salam on them. Prophet said salam on the kids. This is how down to earth he was. And Prophet has said that akrimu awladakum. This is the hadith of Rasulullah. Akrimu awladakum. Respect your children. Akrimu awladakum. Wa ahsinu adabahum. Respect your children and make their etiquettes good. That's how that means. You teach Islamic morals to them so that their Islamic etiquettes are good. This is from Makarim al-Akhlaq. And page number 115. Okay. Also, another hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that إن الله لا يرحم. Islam is the religion of love and respect. إن الله لا يرحم. We have been the subject of all kinds of victimization and insults in the name of freedom and democracy. They have been insulting Islam and the Prophet of Islam, in the West, where we have been spreading love towards everybody, where we are getting hate from others. Isn't that right? We never insult the Holy Prophet, we never insult the Bible. But you find there are others who are insulting our Holy Prophet and insulting the Holy Quran. Isn't that right? So who is spreading love and who is spreading hate? So Islam is a religion spreading love towards others, where we are getting hatred from others. In Allah la yarhamu al-abd, Allah certainly has mercy on a person. لِشُدَّةِ حُبِّهِ for his severe love لِوَلَدِهِ towards his son. If you have severe love towards your son, Allah will certainly have mercy on you. So Allah is basically teaching us to have mercy towards the children. This is from Furu'ul Kafi, volume number 6 and page number 50. And also, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يُقَبِّلِ الْحَسَنَ وَالْحُسَيْنِ. Prophet was kissing Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhim as-salam. فَقَالَ الْأَقْرَى مِنْ حَابِسِ. Aqra min Habis was one of the guys who was present there, and he said to the Prophet, إِنَّ لِي عَشْرَةٌ مِّنَ الْوَلَدِ. I have 10 children, فَمَا قُبَّلْتُ أَحَدًا مِّنْهُمْ. I never kissed any one of them. And Prophet, when he heard that statement, Prophet said that مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ, whoever does not have mercy, that means doesn't have mercy on others, La yurham, then he will also not be subject to mercy. La yurham. What a beautiful statement. Whoever doesn't have mercy will not have mercy. That means if you don't have mercy on others, then nobody would do mercy on you. You don't deserve to have mercy either. This is from Basail al-Shia. Volume 15, page 203. Irham man fil ard, yarhamuka man fis sama. You have mercy on those who are on earth, then those who are in the heavens will have mercy on you. If you don't have mercy on those who are under you, or those from whom you can make a difference, your children, your wife, your family members, your friends, your relatives, if you don't do rahm and mercy towards them, then stop expecting mercy of Allah coming towards you. Also, in another hadith, we have this hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that Ja'a rajulun ila nabi, a person came to the Prophet and said, Ma qabbaltu sabiyan qat, I never kissed any child. Falamma walla, when he turned away, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Prophet said, Hada rajulun indi innahu min ahlin nar. This guy belongs to the, you know, Jahannam, Nar. So in Islam, love and respect is very crucial in our character. We need to show and express love towards others. Man qabbala waladahu, where kisses his son, kataballahu azza wa jal, you know, Allah writes for him, hasanatan, good deed. وَمَنْ فَرَّحَهُ فَرَّحَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, whoever makes his son happy, may Allah will make him happy. And another, I won't write the whole narration because it takes a long time. Prophet went in sajda, Imam Hussain alayhi salam came on the top of Rasulullah when Prophet is doing the sajda. After a while, and Prophet, you know, finally was raised his head from the sajda. Every time Prophet was doing sajda, Imam Hussain was coming on his back. Every time Prophet doing sajda, Imam Hussain is coming on his back. A Yahudi guy in the city of Medina witnessed this taking place. He saw that the grandson of the Prophet is coming on his back when he's doing the worship. And of course, Prophet is delaying his sajda. He's allowing Imam Hussain to stay on the back. Look at the respect of Imam Hussain. And then Imam Hussain gets away. Prophet raises his head. Again, he goes to sajda. Imam Hussain again goes on the top, on the back of Rasulullah. Again, Prophet delays his sajda, allows Imam Hussain to stay on his back. Imam Hussain gets away. Then Prophet raises his head. When the prayers ended, this Yahudi came. He said to Rasulullah that we don't do like this. And that means in our culture, in our side, we don't do like this. Prophet said, if you also believed in Allah and His Messenger, and you have Iman in Allah and His Messenger, in other words, you would also have been doing similar behavior towards your children and, you know, doing mercy towards them, in other words. And this Yahudi converted into a Muslim, the riwayat says, when he saw this beautiful behavior of Rasulullah towards the children. And we know the famous narration when Prophet was praying in the Jama'at and this child came on, he heard the cry of a child during the prayers, and Prophet started to pray fast. And when he was done, some of the ashab asked Rasulullah that how come you started to pray fast during the prayers. And then Prophet said, Ama tasma'u surah as-sabi, don't you hear the voice, the cry of the baby? That means there was a baby crying, and the baby was crying because his mother must be praying behind Rasulullah in Jama'at. So for the sake of the cry of a baby, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his prayers fast so that the mother can basically end her prayers and take care of the child. How much social and, you know, social obligations and political obligations are so important in Islam that for the sake of one baby, Prophet is making his prayers fast. This is how we take care of the duties towards others in the Islamic Ummah. So anything that you do towards others is more important from what you are doing for yourself. Personal duties of Islam have less thawab. Personally speaking, you may be praying and fasting, praying night prayers, Salatul Layl. What benefit does my Salatul Layl has for Islamic Ummah? zero. Isn't that right? If I pray, I'm doing a favor to my own soul. Isn't that right? If I stop praying, I'm not harming you. Isn't that right? So a person's duties are like this. If we do, very good. We are doing a favor on our own selves. We're not favoring the Islamic Ummah. Nobody's benefiting from my prayers. And if I quit prayers, God forbid, or stop doing it, I'm doing oppression and zulm on my own soul. I'm not harming others. But the social obligations and political obligations of Islam is a package deal. Some of the Muslims and Shias are just taking personal duties out of Islam and removing the rest. Because that sounds convenient for them. They're just taking Islam of convenience, the things that are they think is convenient, so they ignore all their political responsibilities, as if that's not part of Islam. As if Amirul Mu'mineen Islam did not teach us. How bad it is that they have started picking and choosing, neglecting and dumping all the social and political obligations of Islam, which have everything to do with Islamic Ummah, and just picking up some of their personal duties and getting engaged in their personal matters only, and then ending up thinking, we are very nice people. What do you mean by very nice people? You're ignoring the major part of Islamic duties by not doing nothing towards the rest of the people in the Islamic Ummah. This is not the Ummah will get elevated by this behavior. That's the way some people are. They are harming their own selves and the Islamic Ummah. 14th duty of the right of the children on the neck of the parents is al-adl. Doing justice between them. It's the job of the parents to do justice between their children. So if you buy something for one child, you have to buy the same thing for the other. If you kiss one of your kids, then you have to kiss the other. If you, whatever you do, you have to treat them in a justful way. You cannot discriminate. Discrimination among the children is condemned in Islam. It creates competition among your children, and in a negative sense, competition which may end up in jealousy and envy towards each other, and this envy can land us in the domains of kufr. Look at what happened with Aaron and Cain. Harun, isn't that right? And Qabil. So Cain was the one who killed Harun because of jealousy. Isn't that right? Hasad, which is one of the biggest sins in Islam, among the sins of the qalb. We have sins related to the tongue, we have sins related to the eyes, we have sins related to the hands, we have sins related to the stomach, we have sins related to the private parts, we have sins related to the feet, we have sins related to the soul. You know, you're staying on your couch, doing nothing, but inside, deep in your heart, you have envy towards your fellow mu'min brother in the Islamic Ummah. You are doing a bigger sin in Islam. Just because you have in your heart a jealousy towards your mu'min brother and hasad. This is enough to engulf and to devastate all your good deeds and prayers and fasting, again coming back to the same point. Jealousy towards your fellow mu'min brother. Now, another person's life is now related to this sin, isn't that right? Any action which has a connection to others, to the society, to the social aspects, political aspects, to the Islamic Ummah, this is more superior and is going to devastate your personal good deeds and worships as well. You have jealousy towards your fellow mu'min brothers? It may remove all your good deeds from the book of deeds. So let's remember, social and political obligations are way more superior than our personal ones, which some of the Shias are basically separating religion from politics. You do a survey. How many people participate in the Yawm al-Quds? Just do a survey. Go to all the Shia centers in America, in Canada, in Europe. How many people take care about the Masjid al-Aqsa? Is it okay? Ask any mujtahid. Is it okay that the Masjid al-Aqsa, it's okay to be occupied by the kufr? What happened to us? Now, don't we follow Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam? This is why, because we learned the deen and religion from the unauthentic source, khutaba. you know, khutaba who are adat taqaleed, just talking about cultural things, not telling us about the religion of Ahlul Bayt, the fara'id from Ahlul Bayt. And we end up with that jahl, harming the Islamic Ummah. So, adl between them. Adl will start by when you have adl on your own self first. Then you can do adl towards others. If you are not just towards your own soul, we can't expect a person to have proper justice at all times towards others. Very less likely to happen. That's what I meant. So, this causes jealousy, and jealousy can live in enmity. So injustice in your behavior towards the children may result in jealousy and negative competition among them, which may result in enmity among the children. And vagha'in, hiqd, kina. In Farsi we say kina. In Arabic we say vagina. And this is transferred in generations, because Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, "Al-bagha'in turas nahd al-balagha, al-bagha'in turasu, kama turasu al-amwal." Just like the wealth is taken in inheritance, likewise the hatreds are also transferred in your nasl and generations. Some people have those hatreds towards the fellow mu'mins, and this is transferred to their children. The children also end up hatred towards those fellow mu'min brothers. Just like the money and wealth is transferred in inheritance, the hatreds are also transferred in inheritance. Look at how far our wrong action can lead us, even to a nasl, and children will be devastated because of our faults. Because we are doing bad and we are teaching them bad. They're also learning bad. This is the narration from Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Yeah, we'll take the question after the class if you allow me. Absara Rasulullah, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Absara Rasulullah Rajulan, Prophet saw a man, Lahu Waladane, he had two children. فقبل أحدهما, he kissed one of those two kids. He kissed one of those two. وترك الآخر, and left the other one. فقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, so Prophet said, فَهَلَّا وَاسَيْتَ بَيْنَهُمَا. So we learn in light of this hadith that Prophet is wanting that this guy should better have done equal behavior towards both of the children. If you kiss one, then you have to kiss the other kid as well. Such minor details have also been taught to us in Islam. You give a candy, an apple, anything to one child, you have to give the same to the other child. If you don't have two, then don't give it to even one of them. Don't give it. Not just to your own children, but even in front of our neighbors. If you find there are children of your neighbors standing, and then you're giving candies in front of to your children and ignoring the children of your neighbors, this is un-Islamic behavior. It's immoral. Either you give to the kids of your neighbors as well, or you don't even give to your own kids. You have to treat them in a justful way. This volume 34 and page number 84 from Biharul Anwar. Okay. Now, when we are dealing with the children, now which of the kids is given preference over the other? This is another issue. You have your children, you have daughters, you have sons. Which one to give preference? Who is first? So look at the minor details. All the minor details have been told in Islam. Do you give it to your sons first, or you give it to your daughters first? Well, in Islam, when the Prophet came, remember in the time of Jahiliyyat and ignorance, and those of the Arabs there used to bury their daughters alive, the idol worshippers, those pagans. Prophet came and taught them the basic human rights. So Islam gave the rights to the woman right from day one, and the daughters have more awatif, and as compared to the sons, and they deserve to be treated with a more loving way as compared to the sons, and they are more sensitive, they get more sorrowful quicker as compared to the sons. Also in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we find that the Prophet has said, خَيْرُ أَوْلَادِكُمْ, best of your children, خَيْرُ أَوْلَادِكُمْ البنات, best of your children are the daughters. This is from Safinat al-Biha. Volume number 2 and page number 684. And also Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said that al-banatu hasanat. والبنون نعم daughters are hasanat, good deeds. Sons are blessings. And then Imam alayhi salam said, فَالْحَسَنَاتُ تُصَابُ عَلَيْهِنَّ, the good deeds, you will be rewarded. تُصَابُ عَلَيْهِنَّ, good deeds, you will be rewarded upon those. When ni'matu, and the blessing, when ni'matu tus'alu anha, you will be asked about it. Tus'alu anha. So daughters are good deeds. And in some of the narrations we learn that daughters are rahmat and sons are ni'mat. You know, ni'mat. So basically, we must remember that Islam is giving so much importance to the daughters and to treat them in a more loving way and caring way. So. And the hadith of coming to the point that we were discussing, which of the children are given preference? In the hadith of Rasulullah, which is a long one, I'm mentioning an excerpt of that hadith, where Prophet says, فَلْيَبْدَ بِالْإِنَاثِ, he should start with the women, with the females. So you give something, you give it to your daughters first. بِالْإِنَاثِ. فَلْيَبْدَأْ بِالْإِنَاثِ قَبْلَ الذُّكُورِ, before the men, before the males. قبل الذكور فإنه من فرح أنثى. Because certainly somebody who makes a female happy, you make your daughter happy. فكأنما, as if you have. فكأنما أعتق, as if you have set free a slave, set free from the lineage of from the children of Ismail. As if, in other words, you set free a slave from the children of Ismail, alayhi salam. So much reward for, you know, making your daughter happy, making. So, in a, this is from Safinat al-Bihar. Safinat al-Bihar, volume number 2, and page number 685. For those of you who want to write down for the reference. You bring fruit, you bring something, candies, anything, chocolates. You start with your daughters first. This is what Islam teaches us. Doing good towards the children will bring results in various ways. Whatever you do good towards your children, that's the way your children will learn towards doing good towards you as a father or as a mother. That's how they learn. In the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says that birrul rajul, good deeds of a man, good deed of a man, bi waladihi, towards his child, birruhu, is the good deeds, is his good deed towards his parents, bi walidayhi. Doing good towards your children is doing good towards your parents. And even that's how the children learn towards good, doing good towards you. It's a value that we need to teach. You have to do to teach it. If you don't do it, do good towards your kids, how would they learn to do good towards you? So that's how it starts. Parents are the role models and that's how they do it. Respecting, ihtiram, and muhabbat, and loving our children. It's narrated in the hadith that Imam Ali, Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, idha bushira bi waladin, whenever he was given the good news of the birth of a baby, idha bushira bi waladin, when Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam was given the good news of the birth of a baby, lam yas'al, he never asked, he did not ask, a zakarun huwa am unsa, is the baby a son or a daughter? He didn't ask that question. A zakarun aw unsa. How much some people are, you know, particular about these things, you know. And it's, look at the behavior of Ahlul Bayt. Imam Sajjad didn't ask when a baby was born in his house and the good news was given to him. He didn't ask, is a male or a female? No, that's not what he asked. Hatta yaqula, until he asked this question first. Until he say, hatta yaqula, asawiyun, is he? Sawi means in Arabic somebody who is mustawil khilqa, and sawi, he physically he is properly made. There's nothing, there's no nothing defectful. There's no defects in the body. Some people are born defective, special kids or something with defects, isn't that right? So a child, a baby who is born rightfully, nothing wrong and no defects, nothing abnormal, so in a proper and normal and proper way. This is what everything is balanced and okay. This is called savi, literally. For idha kana saviyan, and then when he learned that the child is now savi, that means normal, appropriate, without any defect in the body, qala. Then Imam Sajjad alayhi salam said, after learning that, alhamdulillah. So these are the values we learn from Ahlul Bayt. Alhamdulillah alladhi, all praise belongs to Allah, who lam yakhluq, minni, mushawwahan, who did not create from me someone defected. He didn't create from me a defected person or child, in other words. This is narrated in Sharh of Man La Yahfuruhu Al-Faqih, one of our four mother books of hadith of Sheikh Saduq Rahmatullah Alayhi. Man La Yahfuruhu Al-Faqih, volume number 8 and page number 595. So, child born undefected, normal, proper in creation is more important than, you know, being a male or female. It doesn't matter, you know. It's all blessing of Allah. It's all good, you know. Whether it's a rahmat or it's a ni'mat, it doesn't matter. In all the cases, what is more important to be focusing on is it's normal and not defected. A lot of defects are because of the parents, because they don't know what to do. They themselves make mistakes in their own relation with each other, and some of the relationship, ignorance of the relationship, things affect the birth of the children, getting born and their defects. Some of the things are related to the faults of the parents. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ